This meeting is being recorded.
Okay. It is now 6:20. Sorry, everybody. I'm calling to order the Boston Landmarks Commission business hearing on February 14th, 2023. Commissioners present are Henderson, Orlando, Goganian, Hotelling, Gagno, Amadeo, Hoffman, and myself, Lynn Smilage. This evening, the commission will be holding a public hearing to review applications for projects at Landmark Buildings. You can participate in this hearing by going to our Zoom meeting link in our agenda posted online at https://zoom.us/j/9790287345 or by calling 301-715-8592 and entering meeting ID 97902873458. You can also submit written comments to blc@boston.gov. In accordance with the Commonwealth of Massachusetts executive order suspending certain provisions of the open meeting law, including the July 16th, 2022 amendment, extending the suspension of these provisions until March 31st, 2023, we are conducting this meeting online. To ensure public access to the deliberations of the Boston Landmarks Commission, the public may access this call through telephone and video conferencing. This hearing is being recorded. All further conversations between commissioners should be audible to the public in attendance until the hearing is adjourned. First, I'd like to ask if there are any media or elected officials present. If so, could you please identify yourself? Okay, it seems not. So I will read the agenda into the record. First order of business, a discussion and vote on the establishment of a study report subcommittee. Second order of business, designation hearing on the study report and vote to designate the building at 95 State, number 95 Richards Building located at 112 to 116 State Street. Followed by a discussion and vote on amendments to petition 181, the Old Corner Bookstore, located at 283 Washington Street in Boston. The next order of business, Article 85 violation hearing, has been stricken from the agenda tonight. Next order of business, local significance determinations for CPA funding eligibility, followed by review and ratification of the public hearing minutes from the meeting on the 24th of January, 2023. And then finishing up with staff updates. So first order of business, discussion and vote on the establishment of a study report subcommittee. Roseanne, do you wanna walk us through this or would you like me to read from the excellent summary that you prepared? Okay, well, I will launch in. I think this was distributed to commissioners as well. Okay, the Landmark Commission's enabling legislation makes it clear that commissioners are to be involved in finalizing study reports. I'll just read from the legislation. In the case of a landmark which is under consideration for designation, the report shall be prepared by the commission with the assistance of its staff or consultants. Or in the case of a district, architectural conservation district, or protection area, the report shall be prepared by a studying committee. So the summary of the designation process to review, once a petition is accepted, the next step is to create a study report. Pending status offers limited protection, and whenever funding can be allocated, staff will manage a study report. All right, I'm jumping to why we're doing this. When a draft study is ready, staff schedules a hearing. The document is posted. Everyone has an opportunity for feedback. Feedback's also welcome during the hearing and for a time after the hearing. It's possible that a time extension may be granted by the chair if merited. There's no designation vote at this hearing at which the study report is heard. The hearing and vote are scheduled after amendments are made to the study report. There's no requirement that all feedback and suggested amendments to the draft study study board be accepted. There are some landmarks for proposed, there are some petitions for proposed landmarks that have been pending for decades. And sometimes property owners are surprised to learn that the commission is now acting on long pending designations. Most many owners don't fully grasp the landmarking process and request a pause in the study report and designation process. In some cases, this process is paused for years. The misunderstanding by some property owners that they have the right to approve a study report that places them in a good light and gives leeway for changes that would not follow accepted historic preservation practices led to the idea for an ad hoc subcommittee of commissioners. This group would recommend incorporating feedback and suggested amendments in a fair and equitable manner to help reduce long pauses in the designation process and to move deserving designations forward more quickly. So the idea here is to establish a subcommittee of commissioners that will work with staff to work through these changes proposed by the building owner and come to a satisfactory conclusion. We think this will make the process more efficient and provide support to staff. We don't expect this to happen very often. We do have one pending situation where we would utilize the services of this subcommittee, but
Lynn, yes. Excuse me, sorry. Mm-hmm. We actually have several study reports, most notably for the William Lloyd Garrison House that was kind of waylaid by endless requests for edits to the study report, and I think there may be a few others that we have lined up. So this should be a really, it should be really smooth sailing for the commissioners to be brought up to speed, understand where we're stuck, and help move us forward so that we can go right to designation really quickly.
Thank you. I don't want potential subcommittee members to think that this committee will meet on a regular basis. It's would be on an as needed basis as requested by STEM.
Correct.
So we already have two people who volunteered. I will volunteer Tom Hotelling, and correct me if I'm wrong, Tom, but I think you raised your hand.
I did.
Thank you. And Brad.
And Brad Walker. Yep. Brad Walker, yep.
And we would love to have others.
So can I ask, because I'm yes. a little unclear, does the committee meet with the property owners or do they meet with the staff? Or I understand what the goal is, but I'm not quite sure what our role is.
I think the committee would meet with staff, correct, Roseanne?
Correct. So when we collect public feedback, it's written feedback, everything is compiled and we sort through it, and it would be helpful for commissioners to be there to help sort of guide our decision making process so that we don't have kind of an endless round of we go to the owner comes back, you know, this is what happened with the Garrison House. So,
right. So I'm wondering if maybe part of what's needed is just finding a way to bring these things to an end, and staff correct. Is maybe uncomfortable doing that.
Correct. And especially since staff that's here now wasn't here in some cases when these study reports were completed. So
I'd be happy to help with that.
That's great.
Thank you, Susan. That's great. Okay, and you will let us know when we're next needed, right, Roseanne?
yes, okay. we'll not doodle poll, but something better than doodle poll. Okay.
All righty, so I would entertain a motion to establish said subcommittee for study reports.
Seconded.
I'm sorry, was that
Tom?
Tom. Who made the motion?
I'll make the motion, yes.
Oh, I'm sorry, Tom. Okay.
I'll second.
Okay, Susan. Thank you. And everyone in attendance voting. So Commissioner Henderson?
Yes.
Orlando?
Yes.
Gauganian?
Yes.
Hotelling?
Yes.
Gagno?
Yes.
Amadeo? Amadeo, he raised his hand, thank you. Hoffman?
Yes.
And I vote yes. All right, next order of business. Script for, well, designation or potential designation for petition number 95, the Richards Building. And I am guided by a script for this. So I'll start. At tonight's hearing, the commission will take two votes.
I'm guided by a script for this. So I'll start. At tonight's hearing, the commission will take two votes.
Weird. It's like the recording is
yes
playing back to us. I want to mute.
It's like the recording is yes playing back to us.
Roseanne needs to mute.
This has been quite the meeting.
What do you need from me?
This has been quite the meeting.
I can't understand what's going on.
I think you need to mute, Roseanne, because there seems to be feedback from your.
I just unmuted, so it wasn't me.
Okay, let's keep trying. Two votes, to accept or not accept the study report for this proposed Boston landmark, and then to designate or not designate the building as a landmark. The study report was made available to the public online between January 3rd, 2023, and the deadline for public comment on January 27th. The chair and staff have reviewed the hearing record, including verbal and written testimony submitted during the hearing and up to the post-hearing deadline. I'll now ask BLC staff to report in any amendments to the study report. Jennifer?
Yes, just a few to report for tonight. So the following edits have been made to the study report under consideration based on public input submitted and considered during the public comment time period. These amendments have been received by the commissioners and are available to the public by request. In the introduction section, we just changed a sentence saying the latter part of the 18th century to latter part of the 19th. In historical maps and images, we replaced one of the historical images with a non-watermarked version of that image. And lastly, in section 3.4, relationship to criteria for designation, we changed the sentence, the Richards Building is significant as what may be the earliest of six cast iron fronted buildings remaining in Boston, to one of the earliest six cast iron fronted buildings remaining in Boston. And that's it, thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Jennifer. If new information about the property comes to light, further amendments to the study report will be subject to the same public notice requirements. I will now entertain public comment if anyone chooses to comment at this point on acceptance of the study report. All right,
any hands?
Comments or questions from commissioners on the study report? Okay. If not, I would entertain a motion to accept the study report as amended.
So moved.
And that was Jeff?
Yes.
Okay. And a second?
Nice job on the report, by the way. I didn't get a chance to say that. I'm muted to say that.
All right. And everyone voting. Commissioner Henderson?
Yes.
Orlando?
Yes.
Gauganian?
Yes.
Hotelling?
Yes.
Gagno?
Yes.
Amadeo?
Yes.
Oh, I can hear you. Thank you. And Hoffman?
Yes.
And I vote yes. All right. Next, part two of this hearing, vote to designate or not designate. Any public comment on designation of this building?
I don't see any hands.
All Okay, I would entertain a motion to designate the Richards Building a Boston Landmark.
I'll move to designate.
Thanks, Richard. A second. John, okay. Fully with us.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Commissioner Henderson?
Yes.
Orlando?
Yes.
Goganian?
Yes.
Hotelling?
Yes.
Gagno?
Yes.
Amedeo?
Yes.
Hoffman?
Yes.
And I vote yes. All right. Next order of business, a petition to make amendments to the petition 181.94, the Old Corner Bookstore. And I think we've got Kathy Cotteritis presenting on this.
Hey, let me.
And while she's getting ready, let me just provide a little background. The purpose of a preliminary hearing for petition amendment is to provide petitioners with an opportunity to present to the commission why a petition to designate a property should be amended. If the commission votes to accept the amendments, there'll be an opportunity for those opposed to express their views at a later hearing. This is an informal procedure. If after the presentation, the commission accepts the amendments, written materials and additional documentation on the proposed landmark will be welcomed by the commission at any time to help the study. If after the commission has heard the testimony, it finds cause to reject the amendments to the petition without further study, it may do so by simple majority vote. So Kathy, you're up.
May I share my screen? I'm not sure that I have the, this will stop other screen sharing. Do you want to continue? I do.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. All right, there we go.
So polite.
Voila. And let's slideshow. Let's start from the top. Great. Hello, everyone. Thank you very much for the opportunity to bring this before you. I'm here, as I understand it, this evening, just because I'm also figuring out this process alongside you, to amend a long existing petition for the Old Corner Bookstore in downtown Boston at the corner of School and Washington Street to include an adjacent similar aged building, which I guess I'll call the Cunningham House, but it's a property from 1728, not too long after the Old Corner Bookstore was built. We're looking to expand the inclusion of this building into the and parcel number into the nomination for the entire corner bookstore complex. And to be clear, the image you have in front of you on the left is not your ordinary view of the Old Corner Bookstore, but the 283 Washington Street, which is the gambrel shaped building at the corner from 1718. Is the one on the left. And then to the right is 277 Washington Street, built by the Cunningham family in 1728. And that is the structure and parcel number that we're looking to amend the petition with. And I'll give you a quick snapshot of both of these buildings and some snapshots, plural, just to put them in context. But together, these buildings form the what we call the Old Corner Bookstore buildings and the full corner here. They are collectively the only 18th century houses remaining in this area of downtown and some of the oldest commercial spaces as well. The Old Corner Bookstore in particular, but both structures, both sites and addresses were part of literary Boston and the bookselling community that was pretty prevalent here, publishing and bookselling businesses in the beginning of the late 18th century and through to the early 20th. Each of the buildings in form pretty much remains near original, even though there are elements of each building that have been muddled up and restored over the centuries. But what we are talking about here today are two parcels, but effectively four integrated structures that I'll illustrate in a second. And as you probably know, the old Corner Bookstore, the building at 283 Washington Street, is an official site on the Freedom Trail. And to place these in context, I'm sure that this is a very familiar set of structures for you, but we are in Downtown Crossing, corner of School and Washington Street. And the two properties that we're talking about are 283 at the very corner and 277 butting right up against the Pie Alley garage. And when I made reference earlier to four structures, roughly speaking, the old corner at 1718 structure is 283 Washington. 277, the property being amended, is from 1728, the Cunningham House. But as you move up School Street away from Washington, there's additional structures that are later, perhaps more vernacular, but collectively represent a scale of building that really is one of the few locations really expressing the early, really two centuries of Boston. The old corner 283, you probably have this in the petition, is formerly the house site of Anne Hutchinson, built in 1718 as an apothecary shop and private home. It was most notably in the 19th century, the publishing house of Ticknor and Fields, which published many of the great authors of the greater Boston area in the mid 19th century. But throughout the 19th century and into the 20th century, there were a number of booksellers working out of this location, but really by extension, it is a site that has been largely commercial for the better part of the last two centuries. As you can see, there are many, many photographs of the old corner bookstore, and often each one is very different because of the changing nature of the ground floor, cigars in one case, booksellers in another, burritos in the most recent iteration. but the upper floors also had a very different level of expression and activity. 277 Washington Street, to move in against the Pie Alley garage, dates to roughly 1728, began as a residential property and was such until the early 19th century, when it too also hosted book selling and a variety of other commercial enterprises. It was altered significantly in the 20th century, but restored by the owner of the business in it and Historic Boston in 1975. And yet there's some debate about the accuracy of that restoration and the inspiration for it. As you probably know, Historic Boston was formed to save these buildings collectively in 1960. Ultimately the conducted the restoration of them in phases, and yet today really the complex remains not just as an expression of 18th century Boston or 18th century buildings through the 19th century, but is also very much an expression of the mid 20th century's response to urban renewal. This was part of an urban renewal. The saving of these buildings was part of an urban renewal project, which resulted in the parking garage next door. But its survival is very much an expression of that, but also of the new Boston that was looking to grow and expand into the 20th and 21st century, but also maintain historic sites. And that is where we are today, with largely restaurant uses in all of the buildings, but nevertheless, the early features of the building still coming through. And I'll stop there.
All right. Thank you. First, I'll ask if anyone in the public would care to comment on this petition to amend the Old Corner Bookstore petition.
No hands.
Okay. Commissioners, comments?
Well, hi, this is Jeff. Full disclosure, a former employee of Historic Boston who used to worry a lot about these buildings on a day-to-day basis, but I was surprised to learn that 277 wasn't in the original nomination. It's from the outset, you know, of the planning to save these buildings, they were conceived, that initiative was conceived of as a whole, and certainly now 277's position within that corner is sort of indispensable. And I recall reading a historic structures report from the late 1990s that certainly included it in its history along with the history of the others and treated it as equal. So I think that, like I said, I was surprised to learn that this needed to be done at all, but I would certainly support the case to make sure that these buildings are seen as a set and go forward to become a landmark as a set.
Yes, I agree. This is a no-brainer, I think. Any other comments?
I just had a quick question. Does the existing or now to be amended petition include the brick building to the far left on Scroll Street, or is that one left out? I couldn't quite tell.
Yeah, there are two parcels here underneath all of the low-rise buildings that you see here. 283 Washington, the Gambrel building, includes all of the brick structures running up School Street, right, up until you see that, at least in this image, the second Federal Savings sign.
Terrific.
And 277 is much smaller and contained.
Thank you, Kathy.
All right, if there are no more comments or questions, I would entertain a vote to accept these amendments to petition 181.
So moved.
Okay, that was Jeff, a second?
I'll second.
Okay, John. Commissioner Henderson?
Yes.
Orlando?
Yes.
Goganian?
Yes.
Hotelling?
Yes.
Gagno?
Yes.
Amadeo?
Yes.
Hoffman?
Yes.
And I vote yes. All right, finally.
Thank you. Now we can
landmark it.
prioritize a study report.
Thank you. Thanks, all Kathy. Very much.
All righty. Thanks, Kathy. Next order of business. This is actually a little bit of a misnomer, the way it was expressed on the agenda, but this is informational, and we'll have a brief presentation of the buildings that staff determined to be historically and or architecturally significant. These buildings have been granted CPA funding for projects in the current round of funding. So I think we're going to have a look at these three projects, and I think someone is here from CPA? Yes,
I think so. Let me find her. So, Jillian Lang, you should be able to unmute yourself now and play your video if you want to.
You know, I actually, Thadine Brown, the executive director of the program, is on as well, and she might be.
Great. Thank you for letting me
to unmute.
Yeah. So I've made her a co-host as well.
Oh, excellent.
So in the meantime, this is Roseanne. If I could just explain what's happening. In the past, we've had the BLC vote, but in reading the CPA legislation, a determination of local significance is what is required. And because BLC staff makes determinations all the time that are that do not need any kind of vote to affirm them. We've all come to the conclusion that it would be nice for you to see that the BLC staff has said that these three properties are locally significant and therefore eligible for funding. And if Thadine wanted to just talk a little bit about the projects, you know, that would be excellent.
You know, I think she's having some issues with the Zoom account. But I can do like a very quick sort of synopsis, I suppose.
Thank you.
Just the first one that we've got that you see here is the Charlestown Boys and Girls Club in Charlestown, and the building is at 60 High Street. And they are coming in for work, some masonry work. But they were not designated, or they didn't have any kind of background or work on them yet. So we were hoping for the BLC to determine their eligibility to go forward with the funding.
Next slide.
And this is the Unity Sports and Cultural Club in Dorchester at 10 Dunbar Ave. They are also looking for masonry work and a new roof, and we're going to do a conditions assessment. But and it's not the flashiest building, it's more of a vernacular building, but I think it has a lot of use, and we're excited for helping them out and getting the building to be in better shape.
So Jillian, this a few of us can speak to, but Unity Club is one of the oldest Caribbean American clubs, and they do so much cultural and things like maintaining the traditional sports that they played in their home country. They're really active and really important. So that added to the cultural significance of the property.
I see that Thadine is unmuted now. Thadine, can you hear us?
Yes, I'm so sorry. I had to take a call. My apologies.
Oh, it's fine. No, it's fine. I don't know if you have anything else to add to this slide, but I can switch to the next one if you're ready.
Sure. I don't know if Jillian got a chance to speak, but this is just a great project that we wanted to be able to give an opportunity to receive CPA funding. And it was recommended by the committee in our hearing last week, Thursday. And I think just this building being able to have the upgrades it needs is going to be beneficial to the surrounding community.
Great. And then we're on the last slide for this section.
So this is another sort of vernacular building in JP, the Community Care Collaborative building. And it's located at 36 Perkins Street. And I was a former doctor's office, I believe, but they are hoping to get some masonry work done and help them out with the conditions assessment as well. And they were approved by the committee, but we're hoping for a determination by the BLC.
Okay, so I think that completes that agenda item. Thank you. And we can move on to ratification of the minutes from the meeting on the 10th of January or the 24th? I think it was the 24th.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, okay, no problem. they looked great to me. anyone care to make a motion to approve the minutes?
So moved.
Was that Justine? I'm going to say that was Justine. And who seconded it?
Jeff. That was Jeff. Yep.
Jeff, thank you. All right. Commissioner Henderson?
Yes.
Orlando? Yes. Gauganian?
Yes.
Hotelling?
Yes.
Gagno?
Yes.
Amadeo?
Yes.
Hoffman?
Yes.
And I vote yes. Okay. Time for staff updates.
Can everyone hear me? I'm so paranoid right now.
Yes.
Thanks. We are working hard to try to update the central part of our office with some desk space that's more collaborative and some equipment upgrades so that we will have the ability for people like Dorothy and Chelsea and Jennifer, as well as Kira and Gabby and Rachel, to stay connected when they are having meetings and so forth and so on. So we're working hard to try to make sure that we can purchase these before the end of the fiscal year. It'll be tight, but we think we can get it done. So that's my biggest worry and what I've been working on lately. We got our budget request in. We won't know until April what the final, budget proposal is, but I will let everyone know as soon as I do. Joe or anyone else?
I'll just say to Chelsea and Dorothy, I think you made your 3 months almost. So thanks for hanging in there with us. We're happy you're here.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
You're well, stuck. I guess I have some Zoom learning to do tomorrow. I'm so sorry. I did not do anything different than I always do. So I'm confused about it.
That was really odd.
I did some research and I think it's not our fault. It's a citywide setting that has been changed. And I'll email staff about this and we'll figure it out.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Jennifer.
Thank you, Jennifer.
I feel so bad.
Can I ask what happened with the violation?
Yes. Sadly, a really handsome carriage house was lost. My belief was, and based on past experiences with violations that we've considered, we did not have sufficient ironclad documentation to determine that a violation in fact occurred.
Even though the building was demolished?
You need a paper trail. It's messy. It involves ISD and Joe and Chelsea, I think, are hoping to sit down with ISD and do a play-by-play and figure out what went wrong.
So anybody could demolish anything and we wouldn't have any recourse?
No.
Well,
we have to demonstrate with clean documentation that that a series of steps took place or didn't take place. If you remember, we've had these in the past when it was he said, she said, and I was concerned that not happen again. We also had a situation in East Boston where we definitely did not have documentation. And it ended up, we were sued. So I think it's, the process is flawed, but I think, if we have conversations with ISD, there are opportunities to make this easier for us.
So in other words, it wasn't Landmarks that doesn't have the paperwork.
My feeling is that the fault, no, doesn't lie with us.
Right.
Yeah, no.
I mean, I know everybody here is on the same side, but I mean, this is really serious. This is a huge problem.
Yes.
And we cannot, there's no point to having these regulations if people can just ignore them. Absolutely no point. And it's
and this really requires depressing. A lot of collaboration and communication between Landmarks and ISD and the owner. And that clearly, we may research this particular situation and find that we do have sufficient documentation.
I did speak to someone at ISD today who handles all of the demolition permits that are required to take down a building. And this project did not come through her desk in like the proper channels. However, she told me who we should be meeting with to find out exactly what happened. So it's sort of an odd moment. I mean, I was very heartened to hear that the person who is doing takedown permits has Landmarks first on her list for applications.
But that doesn't do us any good if they don't come to her.
If they don't come to her, this is a problem. So we're going to try to meet with the person she recommended and find out more.
And try not to let this ever happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I know, Chelsea, thank you, because Chelsea did a lot of work. She invested a lot of time and energy and passion into
researched
this.
Researched so yes. much. Great job researching, yes. Chelsea.
It's all there in the shared folder if you want to read it.
I actually did read it, and you did absolutely great work. I'm not faulting anybody on the commission. Maybe it's the cynic in me, but I think that, you know, if people aren't doing their job, we're going to lose more buildings, and then there's really no point to what we're doing here.
You're right.
Well, we'll be able to follow up after we meet with ISD and try to put the pieces of this one together. And
good luck.
Avoid it in the future.
Okay. Rosie and I, or Joe, I did hear that the Director of Historic Preservation position has been reopened. Is that correct?
We haven't heard that. So glad to know.
Geez. Because I heard that, and I was going to suggest if anybody on the commission had any ideas.
Please send them our way so we can help.
I'm sorry to hear that hasn't been confirmed.
Thadine Brown has been confirmed. Hold on, I'm going to mute myself, but Thadine, you should be able to speak, I believe.
Thank you. I just want to confirm for CPA, like, were we all set with the three projects we brought forward? I wasn't too sure if there was anything additional we needed to do. Okay.
Yes. And these were shared with the Landmarks Commission really as a courtesy.
Got it.
In the past, we've had a slightly more active role in this. So we're all interested. But yes, you're great.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks for coming. Okay. Unless I hear from anyone else, any further staff comments, I make a motion to adjourn. Or entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Okay. All in favor?
Favor.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Thanks for your patience, everyone. Thank you.
Bye.
What a meeting. Whoa.
Good night. Sorry.
Sorry, guys.
Get through it.
Oh, and then at the end of the meeting, Chris Hart did join us. He's here.
Happy Valentine's Day, Chris.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks. Bye. Bye. Bye.